Brother Gary was sharing with me just a moment ago how he and his wife had had a rough day today, and were thinking that maybe they wouldn't make it to the church tonight. But their neighbor came over and began to talk to them, and they began to rejoice a bit, and livened up spiritually, and behold, here they are. He said when they came in the house tonight, just singing the songs that were being played and rejoicing. I tell you, I'm ready to go to the house right now. I've already been blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God. Praise God for His mercy and His grace toward us. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We surely are all aware of the tragedy that happened at the church in Texas. Sad situation. I told some fellows a while ago, the saddest of that situation is evidently no one in that church was armed. I pastored in Florida for 40 years or so, and the main highway went right by the church. A1A, that's the coastal highway in Florida. I never walked in the pulpit that I wasn't armed. And I had men stationed throughout that auditorium and the balcony, down at the doorways, where they could see everything that was taking place, and they were armed. It's a sad day when the church has come to this lackadaisical state to think we don't have the right to defend ourselves. If someone would walk in here and try that, I would hope that he'd have 8 or 10 bullets in him before he could get his gun unholstered. Well, what if he didn't really mean it's any harm? If he comes in here and pulls a gun, he means to do harm to somebody. And he ought to get it first. I'm sorry, if you don't feel that way, then you talk to the pastor about it. Don't talk to me. I've been down the road too many times. I don't want to argue the point. God's people don't need to lay down, let this kind of junk take place. You ought to be ready when things like that come to pass. If I'd have preached in that church a few years ago, they'd have been armed. Say amen. I've been all through that neck of the woods, but I miss that, and probably because it's First Baptist Church. I always get in the second and third and fourth and, you know, down the road. Well, I've preached in a lot of First Baptist churches, but my rapport is more so with those others. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, I want to talk to you tonight where Paul is dealing with this gift given by God of His Spirit. I'm just going to pick up the reading at verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, now he's speaking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. Now here's a tremendous family tree, isn't it? Grandmother's faith. And thy mother, Eunice, this is often called Eunice, but it's not Eunice, it is Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Nothing wrong with grandma having faith, and mama having faith, and passing it down to her son, is it? Nothing in the world wrong with that. That's the way God's people ought to be. I would to God we all had that kind of heritage. Amen. I talked much about that where we pastored, and oftentimes people would come to me and say, "Brother Larry, I don't have a heritage like that." I said, "Start one. Start one. You be the grandpa or the great-grandpa, and let your children carry on the faith, and their children carry on the faith. Hand it down. Believe God. Trust God. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up." I like that term. "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given," watch this, "for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A fourfold spirit that God has given. I want to talk with you about that, if I may, for these moments tonight. Now remember, we're still speaking of the Holy Ghost work in the modern church. And here, of course, is Paul's admonition to this young preacher and showing him how he needs to stir up the Spirit of God that's within him. You said, "How in the world can you do that?" Well, I'm going to tell you. We're going to find out what that... By the way, that word "stir up" is a very simple word. It's androzophorai. And it literally means... That's pretty nice word, isn't it? And it literally means to rekindle. Start the fire again. Move the ashes. Blow a little breath on the coals and start the fire again. I used to watch my dad do that. He'd go to build a fire in that old warm morning heater. Some of you remember those days, don't you? Some of you grew up with all this infernal stuff and never knew what life was. But Daddy, he'd start a fire. He'd get a little spark in there and he'd go to blowing on that fire. In just a moment it'd start flaming up. A little more kindling on that thing. Some pretty good sized wood. Close the door. It wouldn't be long till there'd be pink all over that belly of that stove. Mm-hmm. Of course, a stove like that's kind of like a fireplace. The only part of you that gets warm is the part that's facing it. Right? But it didn't take long for that pink to start warming up the house, boy. You could feel it all over the place. And that's what Paul says here to this young preacher. Stir up, rekindle the gift of God. Now let me say this to you. Every last one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ have the Holy Ghost living within us. But here's the thing. Now, we can prove this from Scripture. We can prove this from experience where we're concerned. Every last one of us have grown cold, haven't we? I mean, you can go to church every Sunday and still grow cold. You can say your prayers, you can read your Bible, and still grow cold. But Paul said it's time to rekindle. Time to move the ashes back and expose the hot flames and blow a little bit on those flames and cause the fire to burn again down inside of us. Stir up the gift. Cause that is within you to come alive again and begin to do what we ought to be doing for the glory of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a few things tonight. You're not going to like some of this, but I'm going to promise you this, it's not going to cost you anything. We'll sit in the pews of the church, God's blessing somebody, And oft times we say, well, why don't I get blessed like that? Let me tell you what I learned a long time ago. Just step in the circle where the blessing's taking place.
Amen.
Don't stand back outside and look around and wonder what's going on. Step in the circle where the blessing's taking place and enjoy the things of God. Stir up that gift that's in you. I have a preacher friend, and I promise you, I'll never get on the floor to preach if he's in the building, but what he don't, boy, I mean, he's just like a hunter sicking his bulldog. That's what God's people ought to be doing. You ought to be encouraging the man of God, but he is encouraged when you begin to be blessed. I like to look out in the audience and see folks being blessed. Say, how do you know that, Brother Larry? I'll never tell you. But I promise you this, I know when folks are being blessed. And I know when folks aren't being blessed. I know when folks like to be blessed and can't get that because they will not step into the circle. Will not stir up. Listen, when you stir up the gift of God that's in you, you're going to have to do some things that'll make you unpopular, even at the house. With your friends, you'll not be as popular as you once were. Because it means some withdrawals from the world in order to get close to God. We're stepping in that circle and we're stirring up the gift of God that's within us. Several things I want to note here tonight. First of all, I want you to note this fourfold spirit that Paul talks about. In verse number 7, watch this. For God hath not given, underscore that word given. That word given is in the aorist tense, and the aorist tense in the Greek means it's something that has happened previously. Already taken place. There is a time and a spot wherein this particular act has taken place. Now look how he says this. Look at the verse again. For God hath not given at a particular time and a particular place, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, if he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, then it must be on the other side of the coin. It must be the spirit of courage. Right? Fear is an awful thing. I know people that are scared of their own shadow and scared of the light that caused the shadow. And scared of the individual that caused the shadow. They're scared. Now let me tell you something. If you have a fearful spirit, now listen to me. If you have a fearful spirit, the Holy Spirit is not doing His work in your heart. Brother Lai, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I would imagine that I can remember a few times in my life that I was fearful. But it's been very few times. When I came back from Vietnam, I don't think I've ever been scared since I got home. Really. People have tried their best to scare me. I've had friends that heard me make statements like that, and they have labored to try to work something out to scare me, and I wouldn't even flinch. One said to me one time, how in the world can you do that? I said, son, listen, I've pastored a Baptist church for 3 decades. You're not scared of anything when you can do that. Oh, yeah. Been through Georgia a few times. That'll get you to where you're not fearful. Listen to me. Fear is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous to you and it's dangerous to folks around you. You see, we were trained. And I'll not get into a lot of this, but we were trained. And they did their best to scare us. They put circumstances around us to frighten us. And if we were frightened, we failed the test. If we showed any signs of being frightened, we failed the test. Now here's the reason. Because if I went out there with another man and one of us was fearful, we were going to both get killed. Not one of us, but both of us, in all probability, would die. My missions, every time that it amounted to anything, was with an old boy from West Virginia. He was tough as pine knots. Scared of nothing. Didn't have about that much sense. I don't think his IQ had ever reached the freezing level on the Fahrenheit thermometer. But he was sharp in what he was doing. And when our feet touched the ground, it wasn't him, it wasn't me, it was us. And until the mission was over, it was us. He saved my life at least twice. I saved his life one time. Thought a few times about killing him. You had to know him to understand what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying to you is this. In times where stress is high, if you are fearful, you're going to cost somebody their life. Are you going to do something dangerous to hurt yourself or somebody else? Now, how do you keep from being fearful? Being confident in the God of glory. Did you hear that? Being confident in the God of glory. I was a teenager. Came home after a ball game. We lived up the holler. Matter of fact, I only live about a football field and a half from where I grew up. And I'd get off that bus and start up the holler. Well, to the first curve there, there was no light. I didn't do bad that first 150 feet or so. I could get to that light pretty quick. And then for about as far as from here to across the road over there, my uncle had a big light up in the tree, and that thing would shine down the road and up the road, and I did pretty well in the light. But then I had to come out of that light. When I'd come out of that light, every bit of my basketball training and 100-yard dash training came back into view, and boy, I head out for the house. One night I got off the bus, no electricity in the holler. Now, you know what that meant? I mean, it was D-A-double-arc dark. I stepped off that bus and started up that holler. I didn't see any shadows. I knew the light wasn't on. Turn that curve, not a light anywhere. The moon had deserted its task that night. Stars had stepped out for a coffee break. Just weren't there. Now here's what happened in my head. There's something behind you. It's bigger than you are. And every time you take one step, it's taken two. Now, I didn't think that it might be a little mouse or something. Taking several steps as I took one. No, sir. I see in some big varmint in my mind. I headed out for the house. I'd been up at a holler enough times to where my feet knew exactly where they were going down. I knew where every rock was. I knew where every little hole was. And I was ready when I got there. I mean, I was heading out. Full bore, pedal to the metal. I was burning her down. And I got to the driveway, turned in that driveway, and as soon as I turned in the driveway, something grabbed me and held me just as firm. Now look up here at this boy. If my heart ever stopped, it stopped right there. And my daddy's voice said, "Larry, you all right?"
Oh, Lord.
Hey, I feel it right now. I squalled.
Amen. Amen.
I squalled. For two reasons. Number one, because my fear was gone. I was scared to death a minute ago, but my fear was gone. But I was in daddy's arms, and I was so happy. Glory! Now, I said all that to say this to you. When you can realize that you're in your Heavenly Father's arms, you do not have to worry about the animals out there, the boogers out there, big, little. It doesn't make any difference because you are in your daddy's arms.
Hallelujah.
And that's where we are as believers. In the very arms of God Almighty. We have come to dwell under His wings. God's little children need not be fearful. Oh no. No need to be fearful. But rather confident that our Heavenly Father is in control of the circumstances. So God hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of courage. And courage faces the circumstances without wondering, how's this going to affect me? Can I say to you, the spirit of courage means that you are not timid, and especially not timid about the things of God. How about that? How about in circumstances where you know you ought to bow your head and pray, you just kind of walk by it rather than being courageous? You're timid. You don't want anyone to say, "Look over there at them." Let me tell you something. It's the greatest thing in the world to be a Christian. I'd rather be a child of God than to be the President of the United States of America. I mean that before God. I'd rather be a child of God than to be a trillionaire many times over. Because as a child of God, we are courageous. No fear is there Because our Heavenly Father has wrapped us in His arms. We're confident in Him. The spirit of courage, not fear, courage. And then there is this thing of power. Power in this case is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Does that say something to you? But there was a day when dynamite was the thing, wasn't it? Then we went to a little yellow paste that we called in the military C4. You fellas that are familiar with it, you know that a piece of C4, the size of this bottle, would blow this building to Elizabeth. You could pack a little bit of C4 and go do the job. You didn't even, it wasn't like dynamite, you see. You could set dynamite off by shaking it a little bit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Several ways, but that C4, it was much safer. You could pack it away, carry it to wherever you had to have it. And by the way, you could be miles away before that thing ever went off. Oh yeah. Now what I'm saying to you is this. Dynamos, dynamite, power. It's there for a purpose. The power of God in the life of the believer is miraculous power. We've left that. We have. Most people don't even believe in miracles anymore. Can I inform you something tonight? One of the greatest miracles that ever happens in this world is when God's Holy Ghost arrests an old sinner and brings him to the bleeding side of the Lord Jesus Christ and births him into the household of faith.
Amen. Amen.
What power! What power! But you see what we look for? We look for somebody being raised from the dead. That's going to happen. Oh yeah. We look for people who are blind getting their eyesight back. We look for physical miracles. Am I right? We're focused on physical miracles. What we need to do is change our focus from physical to spiritual and just realize how many miracles God works in your life every day. When I get to glory, I want to take a few hundred years and sit down with my guardian angel and just say, explain to me just how many times you intervened in my life.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Glory.
Yes, hallelujah.
I heard a preacher preaching one night and he said, once God saves us, we don't need any guardian angels any longer. I just kind of patted mine on the leg. He's sitting there beside me. I said, don't make any noise. He don't know any better. I have a guardian angel. Secondly, I need a guardian angel. And I'm grateful God's given him to us. Somebody said, never heard of it in my life. I'll tell you what you do when you go home tonight. You read the first chapter of Hebrews and come down there to that last verse. and read what the good word of God says. Speaking of angels, he said, are they not all made ministering spirits to we who are to be heirs of salvation? Amen. Glory. Did you stick that up there? I thought you'd put it on there. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Put it up there if you can. No, let these people read it. They need to see it. It's really there. Listen to me. Listen carefully now. Those angels are made guardian angels, ministering spirits. They watch over us. Not only to where we are born again, but from there on as well. Now, I know the Holy Ghost moves inside, and I know, but He has another job that He does. He deals with His spiritual continually. He is the spiritual guardian. We need something to keep us safe physically as well. I'd like to know how many bullets He just kind of reached up and grabbed and threw off to the side. Oh, yeah. I'd like to know how many times He's blinded the eyes of those who were looking down the sights. How many times a gun misfired? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. How many times He sent the fog? I'm going somewhere some of you have never been. I just tell you, listen, I thank God. Thank God 1,000 times a day that He watched over us and cared for us. You don't know the dangers you've been in this very day. And God spared us. He's worked this thing out for our benefit and His glory. And we couldn't see a thing about it. We're talking about the power of God. Not only does He give us the spirit of power, but He gives us the spirit of love. This is the term agape. It is God's love within us. Have you ever met anyone that you just made up your mind you couldn't possibly love that individual? And you begin to talk to them a little bit, and the witness of the Spirit began to come between the two of you, and you found out that you were womb fellows. You get that term? Brothers in Christ. You are womb fellows, birthed from the same womb, and you begin to love each other. Isn't it amazing what the Spirit of love does? How God causes us to love one another. Jesus said that we were to love one another as He has loved us. Now, there's not a one of us that wants to back our chair away from the table and say, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. Why, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Or a reprobate, one of the two. See my wife after the service, she'll talk to you. By the way, she told me the other night, I said, quit saying that. I'm not going to tell her. So see my boy. Ginger will explain it to you. Benny will explain it to you. God's love. Down inside. Listen. An old preacher friend of mine used to say it this way. Some things are better felt than telt. You ever hear that? Well, let me tell you something. The love of God is a whole lot better felt than it is telt. I can't tell you all you need to know about it. But I'll tell you one thing. When the love of God comes inside your very being, you're a different person. And you love where you never thought you could love. And you're loved beyond measure by the power of God that's in you. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? The Bible tells me so. But not only does the Bible tell me so, I experience that love on a consistent basis. Hallelujah. My wife's been married to me for, 56 years, right at it. We're working on 56 years. I'll guarantee you that many times today I've said to her, I love you. And I promise you that many times today she said the same thing to me. Say, well, why would you do that after all those years? Because she gets forgetful. Old as she is, she forgets. And I need to remind her. Now, let me tell you why. I'll tell you why I tell her so much. Now, don't you tell her I said this, okay? I tell her because I like to hear her say it back to me. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Somebody said, a preacher said to me one time, said, you folks too old to be doing that kind of stuff. Honey, let me tell you something. We might just sneak around the corner about any time. She might be holding on somewhere to keep me from dragging her, but we may just sneak around the corner once in a while. But she's up here fanning, bless her heart. But let me assure you that that love is nothing compared to the love my Heavenly Father has for me and the love He puts in us by His Spirit. We love because we're loved. That's physical and that's spiritual. We love because we are loved. The spirit of love. We're going to get to this in a minute. I'm going to hurry. The spirit of love causes us to realize that there's a world out there, a darkened world bound for hell, and somebody needs to turn the light on.
Amen.
Then not only the spirit of love, but of a sound mind. This word for sound mind is sophronimos. And it literally means to have a disciplined mind. One of the major things that's missing in our culture is discipline. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. Not only discipline from mom and dad, but discipline for ourselves. Let me tell you the answer. I was talking with a doctor a few days ago. Had to make one of those visits that they call you and say, come, I need to look at you. And he said, in your travels, he said, are people like they are around here? Everybody overweight? I said, yeah. Yeah, they're just like they are around here. You know what he said to me? He said, what has happened to self-discipline in America? Now that medical doctor has about as much spiritual insight as a gnat. But he has enough sense to know that physical discipline is a necessity in our lives. Hello. We need to learn how to do this at the table. If that doesn't work, we need to learn how to tape an iron bar to our elbow so it won't move. Hello? But far more than that, we must be disciplined spiritually. The average person who names the name of Christ never looks at their Bible from Sunday to Sunday. Unless they go to church on Wednesday once in a while. There ought to be the discipline to look at this book, read a portion of Scripture on a daily basis. If you eat daily physically, you ought to eat daily spiritually. You ought to have a time that you talk with God and let Him talk to you. His talking to you is right here. My brother said it time and time again. I'm sure my wife hears me mumbling in the morning quite often. A lot of times, rather than reading silently, I read out loud to myself. And especially if I read through a passage and I'm having a problem understanding, I'll go back and read it again out loud, and maybe go back 3 or 4 times and read it out loud until it begins to make the sense that it needs to. Now, I'm no stranger to any passage in this book. People start quoting the Scriptures and I know if they miss it. I've been through this thing a multitude of times. But there's still times that something appears that I just don't get in my head exactly like it ought to be. And I begin to read out loud to myself. I wonder if we took a poll tonight in this assembly, I wonder how many of you could honestly say, and I'm not saying how many of you would say, but I'm saying how many of you could honestly say that you visit with the Lord on a daily basis. It's important that we be disciplined as saints of God to the Word of God. Then this thought of how our Lord, and I really don't need to spend a whole lot of time here, but the Holy Spirit that God gives us is parallel to what Paul says that we give Him. You see, we commit things to God, right? But God commits things to us. We surrender to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then gives us Himself. And the Holy Spirit within us is an investment. Now listen, get this picture, and I'm gonna shut down tonight. God gives us the Holy Spirit as an investment. Now remember, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up. Rekindle. The Holy Ghost that God gives us is like the pound in the parable in the book of Luke that could have become 10 pounds rather than one. Do you understand what I said to you? It is an investment. When we put it to work, when we labor it like a muscle, if we use it, if we strain it, if we labor it, then it becomes strong. The Spirit of God within us, when used, when we use the gift, God strengthens that gift and it becomes more so powerful with every use. Amen. Glory! It's the pot of oil in the Old Testament, in the woman's house. She pours into all the vessels in her house, then sends her sons, now get this, to her neighbors in the neighborhood, and they bring the vessels in, and she pours into their vessels. Are you getting the picture? Not only is it a blessing to your house, it's a blessing to your community when the Holy Ghost uses you and you take advantage of the power of God within you to be a blessing to others.
Amen. Amen.
It's like the water at Canaan's wedding when poured into the vessel and then poured out again is wine for the celebration. Joy. Joy beyond measure. Courage. The lion is a picture of courage, is he not? Strength. The ox is a picture of strength. Love. Man is that emblem of love and wisdom. This thing of a sound mind is pictured by the eagle. All of these put together in the very shell that we walk around in. Tell me that can't be a blessing. Tell me that can't be a blessing to your friends and your loved ones, your family, and the community that you live in. Stir up. Stir up the gift that's in you. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, You need to be stirring up that gift. You're doing it right now by being in the house of God. Listen, God's people need to hear good preaching. I need to hear good preaching. We need to hear the preacher say something besides current events. We need to hear from God, this book. This book is as current as you're going to need anyway. Paul said to the young preacher, stir up. Rekindle that gift that's in you. Now this young man is a young man, pastoring the church. But Paul recognized his ability to allow the Spirit of God's power within him to grow weak. Now, if that's so with him, may I say to us, it's so to us as well. And we need to stir up the gift that's within us. If it's there, let it show. Remember the little song we learned as children? Put your light under a bushel. No. What is it? I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. Father,